Today, St. Paul reminds us of the necessity to tend toward perfection. Everything in this life has its perfection. Wine has its perfection. Plants have their perfection. Animals have their perfection. And so we see breeders who breed cats or dogs to such an extent and take care of them to such an extent that you get a perfect specimen. Also, human endeavors have their perfection. Sports, business, health, fitness, music, knowledge. All of these things have a perfection, which means that they arrive in some people at a point beyond which one cannot go. That is, all of the abilities in that specific field are exhausted. It cannot be any better. That is perfection. Now, the perfection of man does not consist in anything natural, but rather consists in union with God in heaven. Man was destined to this supernatural perfection by God himself, and was given the means to do it, and those means are sanctifying grace and actual grace. St. Paul said, "The end of the law is Christ." And our end is Christ, and our perfection is to come to him, St. Augustine said. Now, perfection in the spiritual life consists in this, in loving God so much that there is a transforming union, even in this life, of the creature and God. And the effect of this is what you read in the lives of the saints. That is, people who love God so much that they become, in a way, superhuman. They undertake to do things that other human beings cannot do because they do not have the courage of the love of God in them to do it. And so they are transformed by their love of God. They love God so much that they are no longer, in a sense, the same person. St. Paul said, "I live now, not I, but Christ liveth in me." And he said, "Who shall then separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or persecution, or the sword? For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor might, nor height, nor depth, nor any creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God." So we see already in his soul the zeal that will bring him to preach the gospel to the whole world despite danger of stoning and shipwreck. And finally, the zeal that will bring him to his death by the sword in Rome. And none of these things will bother him, because he is set on fire by the love of God, and he has achieved perfection. Now, we live in a culture of mortal sin. And when I say that, I don't mean that merely we are surrounded by temptations to impurity. That's true. But when I say that we live in a culture of mortal sin, I mean this. that human perfection by our culture is held out to be success in the pursuit of pleasure, the pursuit of money, the pursuit of glamour and fame, power. And if those things are achieved to perfection, you are considered to have made it in this life. Look at the great heroes. Are they not the sports heroes and the movie stars and those who have made a great deal of money in the business world? And if they should have a putrid moral life, which in most cases they do, that is at worst considered a trifle. Sometimes it's considered a virtue. But the worst possible problem that it could be is that it's a trifle. It's set aside as something that's not important. And that is a culture of mortal sin, because it holds out to you that your perfection consists in selfishness, whereas the perfection that the gospel holds out to us is that we should forget about ourselves and live for God. Whereas the world holds out to us the ideal that we should live for ourselves and forget about God. If a young man today should say, "I would like to become a priest," for the world that is the equivalent of saying, "I will crawl into a coffin and shut the lid." Why would you do such a foolish thing with your life? You have so much to enjoy, so much money to make, so many things to have, such a wonderful life to lead. Why waste it in the priesthood? That's what the world holds out. And God forbid that you should announce that you wanted to be a religious brother. For there, you don't even have the glamour of the priesthood. Or a religious sister. What is more humble and insignificant in this life than the life of a religious sister? And so we have this culture of mortal sin. In the Middle Ages, when the gospel reigned in society, there was a culture of perfection. The culture drew you to put aside worldly things and to pursue the things of God. And so people would, in their free time, give themselves over to the construction of cathedrals. In their spare time, as their leisure. Because God was so important for them. And the construction of the house of God was paramount in their minds. And each town vied to have a more beautiful and higher and more exquisite house of God than the other. They had a culture of forgetting about yourself and living for God. It was a culture of the spiritual life. And so today we have to strive against our culture. And we have to put aside this notion that very often overtakes Catholics, and that is that we need only to do a minimum of religious life, that our spiritual lives need only to be minimal. And they want to live right on the edge of hell, right on the precipice that leads down to hell, doing the least possible love of God, committing the most possible venial sin. That this is the ideal to strive for this permits us to enjoy the most in life. That must be killed in the soul, that attitude. And rather we must love God the way He ought to be loved, with our whole heart and with our whole strength, our whole mind and our whole soul, as our Lord said, with everything. That's the way He deserves to be loved. And we must at least strive toward perfection. Strive to be as spiritually perfect as we can. For everything else will pass away at the moment of death. The only thing that you will take with you is your spiritual perfection. But if you are at the moment of death a spiritual weakling, full of disease, or unmortified, full of fat in your soul, overweight, then you are going to have a serious problem in eternity. For you will have neglected your spiritual life here only to pay later. Now, how do we attain perfection? First, you must have a holy desire for perfection. When St. Thomas's sister said to him, "What should I do in order to become a saint?" He said, "Will it." And that was the end of the sentence, and that was the whole answer. Will it. It was the same conversation in which he told her that the most important thing in life is a good death. Although he said a great deal in his theological works, he was so wise that he could say everything in a few words. Will it. Desire perfection. Want to be a saint. Want to be as holy as God wants you to be. Secondly, mortify yourselves. St. Augustine said, in order to preserve this love of God, one must mortify his passions until he scarcely feels them anymore. Thirdly, pray. Especially do mental prayer. Mental prayer is thinking about God with love. When young people fall in love, does anyone have to coax them to think about each other? And they are drawn naturally to think loving thoughts about each other. And so also, when the soul loves God, there is a natural inclination to think about God with joy, with complacency, to think about how to glorify Him today, how to please Him. And pray especially to the Blessed Virgin Mary, for she is everything perfectly what God desires us to be. If we were to undertake as our spiritual lives the imitation of Mary, we would end up perfect. For every virtue that Christ wants to see in us is in her perfectly. And that is why she is held out to the human race as the model of spiritual perfection. Perfection is compatible with any state in life. Do not think that because you're married, because you're a lay person, that you need merely to lead a life that is the minimum. It is compatible with any walk in life. St. Thomas More was a lawyer. Imagine a lawyer being spiritually perfect, avoiding all lying and cheating. Dishonesty. Imagine St. Louis, St. Henry, kings being perfect. Or Simeon in the Old Testament, St. Joseph, Zacharias, St. Wenceslaus, Blessed Anna Maria Tighe, who was a housewife and who was perfect. St. Maria Goretti, who was a young girl who loved her purity more than herself and succumbed to the knife of him who would violate her rather than to compromise her love of God in the form of her virginity. And she died as a young teenager. And as Providence would have it, the very man that plunged the knife into her was there in St. Peter's Basilica as Pope Pius XII proclaimed St. Maria Goretti to be in heaven for the glory of her virtue. But do you think that she could have had the strength to receive the cold steel of the knife into her tender flesh if she had not been perfect? If she did not have within her the fire of love of God that saw the shedding of her blood as a lesser evil than the shedding of her virginity? And Saint Bernadette, who was a poor, ignorant girl, she, in her state of life, attained perfection. Saint Francis de Sales said, "To be perfect in our vocation is nothing else than to fulfill the duties which our state in life obliges us to perform, and to accomplish them well, and only for the honor and love of God." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.